The pick is in, and you guys were both right. It is indeed Henry Hislop. Celebrations with him and his family. Sixth overall, he'll be a member of the New England Revolution as he begins his pro career.
And that was ESPN 2020 Henry Kessler, drafted to play professional soccer. And that was a dream that he had been working toward. And when I say working, I mean working toward, since he was about 12. He took the field that first year with dogged determination, a lot of talent, and some fiery spark. Here's NBC Sports Boston that September.
Wins delivery. It drops dangerously. Kessler stings it, and the rookie has his first Major League Soccer goal.
And you can see the boys are hyped. They're happy for the young Henry Kessler, who's worked tirelessly to make an impact in this match.
Now, the Revs headed off to training camp last weekend, but before they boarded the plane, Henry Kessler came to Studio 2, and we talked about both his career and the beautiful game. So Monday, we brought you the career part, part one of that conversation, his five-hour commutes to and from training at 12 years old, his love of the grind. So today, part two, where he teaches us about the beautiful game itself. For example, pretty easy, as we just heard, to recognize greatness if someone scores. But what about seeing greatness in more subtle parts of the play?
Sent forward into the open field for Kiza. Kiza, prolific scorer, held off the ball by Henry Kessler.
So when we sat down with Henry Kessler, he actually embraced this opportunity to help us understand what's happening on the field. And that's especially valuable for those of us who maybe started to fall in love with soccer a little during the World Cup and want to be ready for when that World Cup arrives in Boston in 2026. Henry started by telling us the most basic thing, other than watching the ball, you know, of course, that someone who wants to start loving the game could watch for on the field.
I think is how teams move, you know. I think that generally will give you an understanding. So, like, I'll make an analogy to American football. It's very structured. So you see teams move 10 yards at a time, generally. Soccer is a little bit more fluid. So
just a little.
Yeah. So you get a better idea of, like, not only where the ball is, but where the team is. So if everyone's in one half, you know, generally that means the attacking team is in a favorable position and vice versa. So I would say look where the players are, not just where the ball is. That would be my first bit of advice. But you hit the nail on the head. What I don't understand, I enjoy less too. And yeah. I think there are nuances in every sport that you know, I only understand in my sport, and I try to watch other sports and gather this stuff, but what you don't understand, I think you enjoy less. So
there was a moment as I was preparing to talk with you today. So I was looking at I was on YouTube and I'm looking at, you know, highlight reels and film of you playing and that kind of thing. Two things that I noticed. One, not at all surprising, which is despite the fact that you're a defensive player for the New England Revolution, many of the highlights are when you've scored, right?
Okay.
And that's because everybody knows that that's success, right? We all know what it means when the ball goes in the net or through the goalposts or whatever you know. But the other thing was, there was one video, it's from a 2019 game, you were still in college, and it is a compilation of all your plays in that game.
I think I've actually seen this one.
This is the one against Pacific.
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm watching the 7 minutes, right? And I know you're an elite player. So there are things I know I must be seeing that are amazing, that's excellence, but I don't know how to see it because I don't know what you're doing. So If somebody's watching you achieve excellence as a defender, what do they look for to see that excellence unfolding on the field? Do you understand my question?
I understand. It's generally really small things, so it's hard to it's harder for the average person to analyze a defender than an attacker. An attacker, you do something good, it's obvious.
Right.
A defender, you do something good, it's maybe not so obvious. But I tell my teammates this all the time. It's the little plays that make me so happy. So, for instance, like, oh, I made someone play a backwards pass. That's a W.
Somebody has to pass the ball behind them.
Exactly. So I'm defending a striker, attacker, winger, whoever, and they play the ball backwards towards their own net. That's a good play.
See, and I can look for that.
You can look for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a couple others.
Yeah, if I force someone backwards, even if I kick a ball out of bounds, if they're attacking and I kick it out, that might be a good clearance.
Why?
Just it. they can't score from the stands. You know,
you kind of get a re-hit.
Yeah. If the ball is in the stands, they can't score. That's why.
Okay.
I'm trying to think a few. Oh, and if I'm on the ball and I pass the ball forward, it could be a short pass. It could be a longer pass. If it's a forward completed pass, that's a good play.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting the ball closer to the opposition's net.
What is your favorite thing that you're good at?
I'm going to – two categories, attacking, defending. I'm going to go defending. I'm a defender. I take pride in that. I think I'm someone who's hard to play against. So I think if you asked opposing strikers, they'd be like, yeah, that guy's really annoying. You know, he's a pain. And I think that's probably what brings me the most joy is being a pain to other players.
And why are you a pain? Because you're in their way? Because you're stealing the ball a lot? Because you're trash talking? I mean, what's making you so annoying?
I think I'm
happily annoying.
Yeah, right. I'm physical. So like there's a lot off the ball that happens that maybe the camera doesn't pick up, but like the ball's out of the play. Push, you know, like shove, whatever. Get it kind of like
Henry.
There's always contact.
Yeah.
There's always contact. So, you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
All right. So a couple other things now. I feel like I've learned. I I'm going to go try this, right?
Okay.
You've given me some things to watch for. I'm going to go try this. And I'm actually, the first thing I'm going to do is go back to your 7 minutes and watch for these little things that you've just told me about. And I bet you I'll see all of them.
Great.
Right, in that 7 minutes. All right. So a couple of other things. I want to talk World Cup.
Yeah.
And I want to talk both what it must feel like to have the pinnacle of your sport coming home in 2026 and in your secret, deepest place of what you want. What is your dream about what happens for you in 2026?
So I'll answer the first part, which is the World Cup coming back to the U.S. You know, my parents, I don't think I was, what was it, 94?
Yeah.
When it was last in the U.S.?
I think that's right.
I wasn't alive. My parents told me they attended. Great, was great for the sport. It actually kind of created MLS 2 years later.
Major League Soccer?
Yeah. So it had an immense effect the first time it was here. I can't imagine the effect it'll have next time. So I know it's going to be in three countries, U.S., Canada, and Mexico. I think that's going to be great too, just, you know, get different venues. But if it created a league the last time it was here, I can't imagine what it'll do this time. So I'm really excited. I think it'll grow the sport even more, and I think the sport is continuing to grow here. And so I'm really excited for that. And then secondly, on a personal note, I hope I'm a part of it, obviously. I've only played for the U.S. twice, so hope to add to those appearances. I hope I'm starting, you know, the whole lot, everything you can imagine I'm hoping for. And I'm not just hoping, I'm also working towards.
So but. just for our listeners to get a sense of this, you were the overall number six draft pick in 2020.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know how a draft works, that's good, right, first. And second, you start regularly. I think I wrote this down, last year in 2022, you had 22 appearances and started 21 times.
Yeah.
So you are a starter who is very good at your sport. So these are, and we've already established that you will work your fingers to the bone, right? So these feel like things that could really happen. So what's the end, right? And you're only 24. You can play for a really long time, right? And who knows if, you know, I doubt there are many Tom Brady's who play till 45 in professional soccer, right? But what's is there ever a moment where you're like, yeah, I've done it all. I'll be done.
I don't know, because there's still, like, there's a lot that I want to accomplish. So, obviously, I've mentioned stuff for the national team, which I'm still on the outside looking in. You know, they just played a game the other day against Serbia, and I'm here, I'm not there. So I'm still on the outside looking in, trying to work towards being there whenever there's an opportunity.
Is that hard or is that motivating?
It's both.
It's both.
It's both. Because, like, part of me, you know, knows I can do better. And then there's also a part of me thinking, like, maybe you could be there right now, you know? So it's both. But definitely motivating. But I'm also happy that I have teammates there. You know, DeJuan Jones, teammate of mine with the Revs, is there. And I'm really happy for him. Got his first appearance. So congrats to him. But yeah, it's both. And then in terms of club soccer, there's a lot that I want to accomplish too. I want to win MLS Cup with the Revs. There are different leagues that I want to play in. You know, MLS is, it's different than these other sports where it's clear that the U.S. is the pinnacle of the sport. That's not necessarily the case here. So there's I want to play in Europe. I want to play in different countries, have different experiences, and you only have so much time to do it. So,
so it's a busy agenda.
It's a busy agenda. There's a lot I need to get to and not a lot of time.
All right, one more trivia question.
Okay.
Because I just want to know. So when the articles reported on you playing for the U.S. team, they said something about you're wearing the cap. What does that mean?
Okay. Yeah. Let me explain. So I think it goes back a long time to history/tradition, where when you got an appearance for your national team, you received a cap. You received a physical cap. Now it's just a term.
Okay, so no one gives you a hat.
Yeah, no one gives me a hat.
God, it kind of seems like they could afford to give you a hat.
Yeah, I kind of want a hat,
yeah.
You know, now that you say it. But no, so it's just called, so instead of an appearance, it's literally called a cap for the national team.
Got it.
So I have two caps because I've played two games for the U.S.
You have two caps and you have zero caps.
And I have zero caps,
zero,
yeah.
Okay, all right, so last thing. I want to pick a little bit of a fight here, Henry. You're from New York.
Yeah.
And you're in Boston. And yeah, I wish listeners could see the look on your face right now. It's like, I don't even have to finish the question. So are you, you know, learning to love the Boston? I'm sure you love the Revolution, and I'm not going to ask you to say anything else, right? But are you learning to love the Boston teams, or are you just disguising your New York passion?
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both. So the Celtics recently hosted me at a game.
How did that feel?
It felt great. And so I sat second row. You know, I felt like a high roller. So I was really excited. They played the Warriors too, so it was a great game. You know, overtime win. So I was very thankful to be there.
That was a good game.
A fantastic game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I was very thankful that, you know, I got to go to that game. I've been to several Red Sox games, and that's the team I cannot root for. That is the team. So I grew up.
Are you Yankees or
Mets?
I'm
a Yankees fan. I'm a Yankees fan.
Out. Go. Where this interview is done. We're done.
And that's the one team I can't get behind. So the Pats, we share a stadium. You know, I've met some of them.
Yeah.
All great guys. So I'm rooting for them too. I'm not huge on football, but you know, I've kind of adopted the Pats. Celtics hosted me, as I said. Bruins, I would love to get to a game. Haven't been to a game yet, so I'm hoping to do that. This would be the year. They're doing great, right?
Yep.
But no, the Red Sox, that's the one team I cannot root for. Yeah, and it's
tough.
Well,
in all fairness, right now there are a lot of Red Sox fans themselves who are feeling that way. So we'll just leave it at that. Henry Kessler is a defensive player. He's a center back for the New England Revolution. What a delight. Thank you for coming in. So nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. Nice to meet you as well.
Good luck with the season.
Thank you.
And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Chris Siderick, Amanda Beland, Rob Lane, and Sydney Bowles, with help from Tyra Brooks. Marquise Neal is our senior technical director. Titus Faladun is our executive producer. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.